So in this rector's report, I can't say how thankful I am to God for all that he's doing in this season at Redeemer. When I see all of you stepping out and risking and investing in the ministries, that's what life in a spiritual body is all about. It's not about being here just to receive or to check off a box, but it's about participating in God's work as his community. A lot's been happening in the past few years, and right now we really are at a critical juncture. There's a lot going. This is a unique time, a lot going on. But before I look forward, I want to look back at what God's done in our church here. Where did we come from? We were formed as a church plant in a garage 60 years ago. I'm pretty certain this is our 60th anniversary year. It is. Eric tells me he knows these things. We grew into a vibrant, healthy parish. We purchased land on Southside Boulevard and built a beautiful sanctuary. Many of you were a part of that. The body at Redeemer grew and matured in that sanctuary under Neil and Marcia's leadership. Along the way, we adopted our mission statement, which stands today. Say it together. The Lord calls us to make followers who know Christ, grow together, and go into the world. And the church grew and flourished. We, along with other Anglican brothers and sisters, reached a crossroads in 2003. We at Church of the Redeemer took a stand for the truth of the gospel and holy scriptures. We talked about that in the sermon. I was not a part of that, but I am so proud to be here now in that legacy. In 2006, I'm fairly certain, and it was Palm Sunday, am I correct? When you marched out of the building. You relinquished the building, we did, to the Episcopal Diocese in order to continue to stand with faithful and biblical Anglicans worldwide. That is our legacy and our heritage. We continue to stand with them today as part of the Anglican Church in North America, a member of the global and faithful Anglican Communion. And in our synod meeting yesterday, Bishop Neil asked me to give the missions report closing out the meeting on what God's doing in the midst of us with regard to the refugee community. I'm so proud to be here with you all, and I'm so glad God has called us to be here and has called us to stay here and has called us to walk with you in these upcoming years. In 2010, God led us to this location, and on Christmas Eve that year, we celebrated our first services. And over the past 6 years, God's brought many new members. We've seen other faithful followers of Jesus move on, some to worship and grow and lead in other congregations, and some to move on to their eternal home with their Lord Jesus Christ. We have a godly heritage, as the scriptures say. And I want to take stop for a moment, and I invite you loudly give short statements of praise to God for what he's done here in the past. God, I thank you for Neil and Marcia and for their leadership. Just call them out.
Thank you for prudence and the work of the young people and the children. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The growth we've seen in these young children through the years, how the young adults serving you in a great way. Thank you so much.
Call them out. Thank you for leadership that wrote bylaws that protect us.
Thank you for this extended family.
Thank you for Bill's family and the example they offer us.
Thank you for Bill's leadership. Thank you for Darby and his family.
Yes.
While it was a tough lesson, Lord, I thank you for helping us to learn that the church is about the people, the community.
and all he does for the Thursday morning men's group.
Thank you for the men and women in leadership that suffered when we walked away, that suffered during that hard period in 2006, and for their leadership that brought us here.
Thank you for Bill, Janet. You seem to always be around when we need them.
Yeah.
Thank you for Sean Lafferty's leadership. Thank you for the financial support.
Yes. God, we give you thanks and praise for all of the individuals that you've used in the life of this congregation. The faces fly through my head of Bill Stitch and John Simcoe and so many. I give you thanks and praise for all and for those that are here. Thank you for where you've brought us from. And thank you that you are leading us forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We've celebrated how God has led and shaped us so far, and now, as he always is, God continues to be on the move. God's kingdom and mission is moving forward. I believe as God is calling us in this season to draw near to him as never before as a community, and to draw near to one another as never before in community, that we don't recognize each other on Sunday, but that we are living life together as a vibrant community, to grow in faith and dependence on him in increasing ways, and to continue to draw near to and bring the truth and life of the gospel to the suffering, to the lost of this world as never before. And what will that mean specifically? What will that look like concretely? As your leader, I really don't know. But we have a God who does. I'm in a season where I'm on a just-in-time inventory system with God. He's giving it to me just in time. I can't work ahead. He's not allowing me to do that. Many of you know I'm seeking to lead differently during this new season. I have to apologize to Bill Archer for continuing to take the microphone from him while he was up here, because I want to control everything. And I know I can't. And I have to stop. Thank you, Kim, for telling me to stop today. I love my wife. I'm seeking to let go of control of everything I was trying to control so that I can model dependence on God and model dependence on you, the leaders and parishioners, to lead. We are in this together. And we are not going to grow if it's limited by what I can handle and what I can do. The kingdom is going to move forward as we move forward together. And I'm humbled and so privileged to serve as your leader. I don't like leading this new way. Because I'm uncomfortable. And I know it's what God's calling us to. That we would raise up Jesus followers who are being transformed by God as they grow in faith and grow together in community, who are stepping forward boldly for Jesus Christ in their lives, families, and work, who are dedicated to prayer, to hearing God's voice and initiative, and who are being changed and transformed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to risk and to serve. That's who God's calling us to be. And I'm seeing it, and the fruit is marvelous. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're in your 30s, or I'm not going to say how old you might be, if you're breathing, God's not done with you. Some will listen to this on the recorder because they can't be here, they can't get out. God's not done with them either. We are all called to look to where God is already at work and then to join him. We are never too old or never too young to serve the King of Kings. I believe that this new season at Redeemer specifically will involve knowing and being known. Having a community where we're known, where we're not just recognized. That we'll be in small groups, life groups, where we're known, where we can be real, where we can speak truth, where we can have others pray because life is terrible, or to celebrate with us when life is worth celebrating. Real community. I believe that this new season of life groups is going to be crucial and central. A new life group recently started in another area of Jacksonville, and in the spring and in the upcoming weeks, you're going to hear more about life groups. My vision is that the majority of Jesus' followers here will be in life groups, not the minority. You're going to hear more about that in the upcoming weeks, where and how to get involved. And if God's nudging you right now about life groups, even if you don't like it, if God's nudging your heart, call me. Let's have some coffee. And let's see what God's doing together. I wanted to ask Jay Haig to just close this portion of talking about life groups with a prayer. We need to be praying, and that's why I wanted more prayer in our meeting.
Isn't this great? We're sensing something here, aren't we?
Yep.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is a distinct one anotherness about our life together. We are your people, and we are brothers and sisters. And Father, we ask that you would lead us in the upcoming year to a deeper sense of fellowship with one another, a deeper intimacy, involvement, and care, and ministry, the bringing of hope to one another, the 3 a.m. phone call when things have just fallen apart would be routine. And that when our children are facing challenges, we would call one another and ask for prayer. And when that old mother or father is about ready to go into eternity, that we would share the burden as we walk with each other. Father, we need to learn to know how to care and be involved. And we need the help of your Holy Spirit to build an incendiary fellowship that brings down the fire of God because the love of Christ is present. And so we ask your help, we ask your aid, we ask your mercy and your provision. Thank you that every person here is key to your plan. Even the person who's saying in their heart right now, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Teach us to know how. Help us to wait upon you and not expect an immediate answer, but to dwell in your presence so that we can truly come to a place where we as a community will love one another in the power of the Spirit. And they will say of the people at Redeemer, see how they love one another. And that would be the mark, as it was, of those early first believers. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you for Bill and Kim Driscoll. Thank you for all that you're doing among the vestry and the leaders of this congregation. And we ask, Father, that our hearts would be open to more of you and more of one another in the next year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Now, I want to turn my attention to Matthew 18. Another thing in this new season that I believe is crucial is that we would truly become a Matthew 18 congregation. If you feel a little uncomfortable, so do I. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him or her their fault between you and them alone. If they listen to you, you have gained your brother or your sister. But if they do not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen to the church, let them be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Why did I go there, you wonder? Because if we as God's people aren't willing to speak truth and love to each other and deal direct, the enemy's going to rip us apart. We have to be willing to speak truth to each other. I need to know that you understand that you can bring anything to me. Even if you're concerned it might hurt me, come and talk to me. We need to do that with each other. We are in war, and the enemy wants to break you down, divide your family, and destroy God's church. And that's how he'll do it, among others. None of us is perfect. We all will make mistakes. We will all regularly wound, hurt, and injure each other. Many of you are thinking, I'm not going to be in a small group. My last one hurt. I don't want to serve in a ministry like that. I got hurt last time. We need to be a Matthew 18 church to survive and to thrive. Deal direct, especially with church leadership and with me. If there's something that you wanted to share with one of the ministry leaders and it's been bothering you, share it with the vestry. Come to the vestry. But first go and share it with the ministry leader. If you tried or if you feel like it fell on deaf ears, with me as well. Then go to the vestry leader and ask them, will you come with me so we can go together? We need to be able to deal direct. We need to be able to share openly and honestly. You notice in that verse, it doesn't say, if they listen to you, go and tell them their fault or how they've hurt you or what's happened or what you don't like. If they listen to you, everything will be peachy. Doesn't say that. It says, you will have gained your brother. That's community. You will have achieved a deeper level of community with your brother or with your sister. Let's deal direct. As we're in this challenging season, please, if you're not sure how to say it to me, grab a vestry member and come together. Let's deal direct. Some of you are wondering, why are we doing one service instead of two? Because it's been amazing to be together as a family. Some are wondering, well, does this mean we're going to do it a lot more? I'm not answering that question right now. Carl says, good answer. Now's not the time to decide that. It feels really good. But there's a lot to pray through before we just change things. When we do that, feelings are going to get hurt. Because we can't do everything everybody's way. We need to be able to communicate and work through this together, whatever the challenge will be. I've asked Bob Baldwin. Bob has modeled for me Matthew 18, as he's come to me with a few things directly, and I love my brother for that, and I've asked him to pray for us now.
Lord God, thank you for providing a blueprint for relationships. Thank you for helping us to know what to do and how to do it. Lord, we gain nothing by gossip. We create division, hostility, discontent, and any number of horrible and dissatisfying emotions. So Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to be authentic, to be transparent, to be vulnerable, and to be willing to have the courage to go to those that we disagree with the knowledge that we can together understand and appreciate each other's position. And then in the process of that, that we can be solution-based, that we can find ways to grow both personally and collectively, that we as a congregation can bring and build on the foundation that you've provided us, and that you will be with us in all of our conversations. Lord, I ask your forgiveness for those times that I gossip, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict me of every time I begin to do it, that I might stop, pause, and remember that I need to take my discontent to that person of which I have the problem. And together, through Christ, we can solve all and every challenge. And we, Lord, we pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
That leaves me with one final point, that in this new season, we need to have a good understanding of where we are and who we are as we discern next steps into this new chapter of our adventure together. To gain an understanding of who we are right now and where we're going begins first with an understanding of God and His desires and plans. And once we understand God's plan and purpose for us, we'll be able to better engage with how best to fulfill His plan and purpose, what He's calling us to do, because we can't do everything. That He would guide our stewardship of the time, talent, treasure, relationships, experiences, and everything else that God has given us. So we're going to be entering into a season of discernment, a time of actively and intensively praying and learning and reflecting as a church so we can help or so we can identify God's plan and purpose for us. The discernment is going to begin with a congregational assessment process beginning in the next few weeks. I've been talking with Vestry and we've been talking about the need to have this done, and God's gifted me with a partner in ministry, Craig Brown. Craig, will you wave from the back? Craig, while being an Anglican priest and a licensed counselor, has a lot of experience with assessments like this, and he has stepped forward to help us through this process. We're going to undertake a series of assessments, and we will receive feedback on those assessments, and then with those results in mind, undertake the work of discernment together. It's not a survey to find out what flavor ice cream we want. This is discernment. What is God doing? Where is He calling us? How are we uniquely gifted to do that together? And then how are we going to do it? The process is going to take probably at least 6 months. Each of you will be involved, or will be invited to actively participate. I hope each of you will be involved. But I ask all of you to pray. Thank you, Mary, for that example. Thank you, each of you that has had that sense of prayer. We need to bring our hopes and anxieties to God. We need Him to bring His insight into this process. Even as I'm looking around this room, I know there are people that I have not thanked for their partnership in the past year, and I want to thank each and every one of you for the way you are. I am partnered with you in this ministry. It's not me much better and you following along. We are in this together and I can't do it without you. We are called to grow together. Missed the first point. What are we called to? Know Christ. We're called to know and live in relationship with the risen Messiah and Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to grow together, to know and be known. To grow in faith, to be transformed by His Holy Spirit. For His sword of the Spirit to be pruned, to be transformed and changed so that we would be more like Jesus day by day. And we're called to go into mission. And in this season, there will be opportunities for us to do mission together. We're already seeing it happen and I can't wait to see more. I pray that God will direct us in this season as we work alongside each other in His harvest fields and through our treasure as we seek to give back to God cheerfully of all that He has entrusted in our hands. All things come of Thee, O Lord, and of Thine own do we give back in our service, in our tithes, and our offerings. Jesus, we commit all of this to You in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we are going to sing the first verse and the last verse of the hymn, and I'm going to ask Darlene to lead because I'm not going to do that again. But before, we have election results, I'm pretty sure. First, I want to ask the six candidates to stand, and I want to say thank you for standing for election. So you can be seated and
Before I move on, there was something that happened last month, and Bill and Kim were off that particular weekend, and I reminded everybody that it was Pastor Appreciation Month. And I asked everybody to consider passing on just little signs of your love and appreciation to Bill and Kim. I want to take a moment right now with us here to recognize Bill and Kim and their family for all they've done for us. Took over senior warden this last year, I recognized right away that I thought we need to be more prayer-based. We aren't where I would like to be, but we've made some strides, and Bill's been a big part of that. Now we're going to bring three new members on, and I just want to say something to the three who were not selected. We had six very good candidates. I was once one of those people that was not elected, and I'd always said, you know, I wonder if I'll ever be on a vestry, and then about the time I said, I'll never be on a vestry, here I am. For the three who didn't get elected, I would just say, take a look at where God wants you to be now. If he didn't select you to the vestry, there's something he wants you to do. When I wasn't selected, and this was years ago, I was very involved with ministry, and the Lord wanted me to continue doing my ministry, because in order to be on the vestry, I would have had to have given something up. So for the three who weren't elected, ask the Lord, what am I to do for you now in this body? For the three who were elected, I want to say congratulations. And those three, and not in any particular order, Kyle Gavin, Claudia Haig, and Mike Norris. Thank you very much for all six being willing to stand for election. And I welcome the three. We will be in touch. And we'll get you tied into the next meeting. Bill's got a...
Let's just sing the first verse. I think we all know that one. But Darlene, please get us in tune. Please stand as we prepare to be dismissed.
Crown him with many crowns.